Good morning. Welcome to this meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs. Our time is 8:01 a.m. It is Tuesday, April 14th, 2026, and the meeting is now called to order. Present today are Representative Kai Holland, Representative Carolyn Hall, Representative Stephen St. Clair, Co-Chair Donna Mears, and myself, Co-Chair Rebecca Himshute. We have a quorum to conduct business. Please silence your cell phones. Before we get started, I'd like to thank Sophia Tenney from House Records, who's here documenting today's meeting, and Doug Bridges. I was going to say Doug Burgum. Doug Bridges from the Juno LIO assisting us with the meeting recording. We have four items on our agenda today: House Bill 334, Unhoused Young Adults, IDs, Birth Certificate; House Bill 379, Service Area Elections; House Bill 217, Autonomous Vehicles; and House Bill 162, Digital Product Repair. So we're going to start with House Bill 334, and this is the third hearing on the bill. Representative Mina and Tamalivas Salanoa, please come forward, put your names on the record, and give a very brief recap of the bill.
For the record, Genevieve Mina, House District 19 Representative. I'm here with my staff, Ms. Tamalivas Salanoa. Thank you again to the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee for hearing House Bill 334, which would waive the fees related to birth certificates and state IDs for unhoused young adults, and that would be specifically Alaskans from the age of 18 to 25 who are experiencing homelessness.
Okay, thank you. And online for questions, if anyone in the committee has questions, are Jessica Parks, the Interim Director for the Anchorage Coalition to End Homelessness, and Lauren Whiteside, Division Operations Manager from the DMV Department of Administration. Are there any committee questions?
Oh, Representative
Mina, did you want to add?
To the chair, we also have in the room vital statistics as well.
Okay, thank you. So is that Abigail? Okay, Abigail Newby Q from, who's a section chief at Bureau of Vital Statistics. If there are any questions, we'll take them now. Representative St. Clair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mina, we spoke, and I just wanted to get this on the record about driver's license, and I think it was Rep. Nelson that asked on whether or not we could track them to see if someone's abusing the privilege, et cetera, et cetera. And the response I got back, and I think I forwarded it to you, was yes, we can track them. On when and where they were issued a license, let's say they're using this method, but we can track when and where they get them. So if they're abusing the system, we can. Additionally, this might be follow-up. This may be for the DMV. Do we know how long prisoners get IDs before they come out of jail? Do we know how long those are good for?
Let's go to Lauren Whiteside with that question. If you could unmute yourself and put your name on the record, please.
Through the co-chair, Representative, I'm sorry, I couldn't exactly hear who was asking the question, but yes, I mean, the releasing inmate brings in the form required for the ID, at which point we issue them their free ID. We do bill back DOCs for that ID card. And we don't often have inmates or releasing inmates abusing that privilege once they get the card in the mail. Typically, it's a one and done. We do take that form from them.
I believe the question from Representative St. Clair was the duration of that card. Is it a year, or is it a 5-year or a 10-year?
Oh, my apologies to the chair, Representative St. Clair. It is a standard expiration ID, so whatever they would be eligible for based on their record would be the duration of that ID.
Which I believe is 5 years, is that correct?
It could be up to 8 years, depending on their citizenship status.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to welcome Representative Prox at 8:04. And seeing no further questions, I'd like to go to Representative Holland for your amendment.
Thank you, Chair Himshute. I move amendment number one.
Okay. There is an objection. Would you like to speak to your objection, Representative St. Clair?
That would be Representative Holland, I think, for the record.
I objected.
You objected.
And she asked if you wanted to...
Just for clarification, Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Got it. Representative Holland.
Great, thank you. Sorry. So the amendment that I've brought to you today would allow any unhoused person to receive a birth certificate and identification card as long as they're at least 16 years old. The barriers that prevent youth from attaining ID, that is lacking funds, paperwork, or permanent address, are very likely to apply to older unhoused people also. And the problems that arise from not having an ID, like being unable to access employment and government services, are also issues for unhoused adults. This amendment is attempting to recognize that unhoused people of all ages would benefit from the work that this bill has brought forward to us, and I appreciate the bill sponsor for bringing this to us. I do recognize that there's going to be some questions or concern about the application of this if it were to substantially increase the number of people that would be interested in getting access to this ID. I think that's a worthwhile concern, but I also expect that we might be able to look at the fiscal note and recognize that perhaps as it was originally proposed, pretty significant in terms of an assumption of how often people would actually need to get new IDs. So with that, I look forward to any discussion and a debate on this amendment. Thank you.
Any further discussion of the amendment? Representative Prox? Representative Prox?
I always want to have the last word. You know how it is. I think this is a good amendment. It might increase cost a little bit, but compared to the difficulties of dealing and helping the folks out other ways, I think this is a relatively de minimis amount. And probably be a good idea to at the DMV have suggestions for those folks that come in of where you can go to get help. I ran into a guy, actually I've run into him several times on the street down here for the last several years, that just wanders around and feels he's dropped out, and that's the easiest way of living. So we do need to do something about this.
Okay. Representative St. Clair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask the amendment sponsor, do we have a fiscal note on this or an estimated fiscal note?
Representative Holland.
Thank you. Through the chair, we don't to this amendment that I'm aware of being posted prior to this meeting right now. I know that we've internally looked at the way the current fiscal note was generated, which made, I think, a pretty significant assumption on the frequency at which youth would be looking for new IDs, and we tried extrapolating that out based upon the percentage of youth to the percentage of unhoused and so on. And if you use the very generous assumption of somebody getting a new ID, I think every 90 days, which I think is completely impractical, but if you went with their assumptions for purposes of addressing the question being asked, you might come up with a number close to $500,000 associated with this. I think it would be prudent for us as this bill moves forward, if this amendment were to be accepted, to try and look at that number more carefully. I did reach out this morning to someone from the Lutheran Social Services that provides this service, asking them for at least some anecdotal information about how often do they have somebody come in asking for help with getting ID, which is a service they provide. How often do they come back again looking for that? Unfortunately, I haven't gotten an answer before the meeting, so I appreciate the concern. That's our best guess at putting perhaps an outer bound on this. But to Representative Prox's point, it's my belief from what little I know about this unhoused population that even if that cost were to be realized, it's a small part of the total cost to what we might benefit from of more people being able to get jobs and reduce unhoused situations. So That's what I've been able to figure out so far. Thank you for your question.
I'd like to welcome Representative Nelson at 810 follow-up.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would also like to have Representative Bina speak to this, but let's do your follow-up and then we'll...
Follow-up isn't really directed at the amendment sponsor. I think the intent, and I guess I could ask the bill sponsor, I believe the intent of this was so that inexperienced young people that didn't really... have experience in the world and a lot of this. That's what I thought the intent of this was. I didn't like the 25 years old as the ceiling on that. But opening this to any unhoused person, it's kind of like Rep. Prock said, some people just don't want it, don't want anything. They've just dropped. They've you know, checked out. They don't want to be housed. They don't want any help, et cetera. And the fiscal note, I can understand what Rep. Holland was saying. I have concerns about that, and I have concerns on broadening the range from the demographic that was stated in the initial bill to opening it completely. So that's why I kind of have issues with it.
Thank you for that. And I think, you know, if somebody doesn't want it, they still have that choice to not take it. So I would also like to let the committee know that Brian Wilson from the Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness is also in the room for questions. Representative Holland, and then we'll go to Representative Mina.
Great. Thank you. And I'd just like to very briefly follow up to clarify my comments about, you know, some fiscal cost. This is a projection of what might be lost revenue from the licensing process. This is not a fiscal note associated with having to hire a bunch of people to spend a bunch of new money. It's lost revenue as opposed to new expenses, if that makes any difference in the discussion.
Representative Mina, do you have any comments on this amendment?
Thank you, Chair Hemshade. For the record, Genevieve Mina, House District 18 Representative. I will say that when we first crafted this bill, it was from my experience attending the NCSL Youth Homelessness Fellowship and learning from a lot about that particular demographic, but I'm not philosophically opposed to this concept applying to anyone experiencing homelessness. And I really appreciate the discussion from the committee about what that cost would be. I think we, if in terms of the goal of trying to help people be lifted out of homelessness, that this is a small barrier to tackle, and I definitely support any way to help balance those fiscal costs to the DMV. Part of the other reason why we wanted to originally look at one specific age demographic is because this is a new novel concept for the state, and you know, we wanted to see what would that fiscal note apply to if it were for a specific age demographic. So I am supportive of the amendment, and I would also defer to some of our individuals available for questions, such as the both the Anchorage Coalition and Homelessness, as well as the Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness, because those entities also work actively to help people experiencing homelessness access state IDs and birth certificates.
Thank you for that. Do you maintain your objection, Representative
Yes,
St. Clair? Very well. Ms. Tenney, could you please call the roll?
Representative Nelson.
Pass.
Representative Hall.
Yes.
Representative Holland.
Yes.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Representative St. Clair.
No.
Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Co-Chair Mears?
Yes.
Co-Chair Hamilton?
Yes.
6 yeas and 1 nay.
By a vote of 6 yeas to 1 nay, Amendment 1, Work Order 34-LS1351/A.1 is adopted. Representative Mina, do you want to make any final comments on your bill? Oh. Representative Prox, did you want to add something?
Yes, I didn't have time for amendments or anything else on this, but it occurs to me that we have somebody from the Coalition of Homelessness and somebody from the DMV listening. And just a suggestion. I haven't been to the DMV for a while. I have to go there this year. But typically, you have to spend an hour or two waiting, which is a complaint. But it's an opportunity to sit down and think and get some information. So it would be kind of good for to see if we could get some sort of a message board or display for the folks that are coming in to the DMV. They got time to read other things. And this might be a way to make connections that help people without a whole lot of additional expense.
Okay. Thank you for that, Representative St. Clair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just kind of in wrap-up, we spent the last 3 days working on a budget on the floor, looking for new revenue. And like Rep. Holland said, this is it's not really a fiscal note. It's not what it's going to cost us, but it's what we're losing. And I'm a fiscal guy. I look at cost versus benefit. I understand the rationale and how this can benefit. I'm hung up on what we're losing. Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't some of the concerns that I also had and wanted to make an amendment for, we just got answers from the DMV yesterday. And frankly, the bill sponsor and myself were reading the email at the same time because I had sent it to her. And so is this going to another committee? I guess that's a question, correct? It's going to finance. I think there's the opportunity to still address the things that we've talked about. So I still do have concerns, but I didn't want to just throw an amendment out there that without the actual supporting evidence, and literally just got the email back from DMV yesterday while we were on the floor. So I just want to point that out, that something that I will work with our finance members to address those concerns. Because I think the fiscal note is baloney on like two sides. I don't think that every single person is going to be, you know, the fiscal note only applies to 420 or 419 people. They're not like, I don't think the 419 people are going to be constantly getting new IDs. I think that this program or this bill will help the people that want to move forward. And the people that don't, then they are not going to do it. However, I still don't think it's wise for us to put something in statute that basically is a free-for-all where they can get an ID every week at this point. And they only did it for every month. So I understand that they had, you know, to put a fiscal note together, and I appreciate that. But I will address my concerns later.
Okay. Co-Chair Mears.
Thank you, through the chair. I'd like to thank Representative Holland for that. Pointing out that it's foregone revenue, and I would imagine in a lot of cases folks wouldn't necessarily be seeking these IDs anyway. So the lost costs, you know, the foregone or the costs actually to the state are extremely small. And I think also to Representative Prox's point of having to make an appointment and spend time at the DMV getting identification is a larger barrier than the fee. So I think the practical reality, I mean, like just going somewhere, right? I think the practical reality of the implementation is net benefit.
We have that great suggestion to make that time more useful too. So Representative Mina, do you have any closing comments before I entertain a motion?
I actually, to the chair, if it is permissible, if I could invite Mr. Brian Wilson with the Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness just to comment on the amount of individuals that this bill as amended would pertain to. Right now, the fiscal note utilizes the 2024 HUD continuum of care data to say that this bill would apply to 419 individuals that are young, between 18 to 26. And I'm curious how many more Alaskans that bill would apply to.
Mr. Wilson, if you'd like to come forward and put your name on record and clarify that you are not a famous musician from a bygone era, but actually with the Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness, and share your insights, that would be great.
For the record, Brian Wilson, the Executive Director of the Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. So if you're looking at all populations of people who touch the homeless response system, every year it averages around 15,000 unique Alaskans. Now, obviously, that's not, you know, some of those might be in families, so it could be like five people, and the need might only be pertaining to one of those individuals to get into a housing unit, but that's the number that we see every year on average.
And that's the statewide number, to be clear.
The statewide number, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Ryan Wilson. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So how often do you see a lack of a state-issued ID being a barrier for whatever, you know, program that you were mentioning? Or, like, you know, I'm assuming it's not 15,000, which you already alluded to, but how often do you see a lack of an ID being a barrier to somebody trying to improve their situation?
Through the chair, Representative Nelson, that's a great question. Yes, it's not 100% of the time that somebody needs this service. I don't think of it so much in age groups than I do causes of homelessness. If you look at the original population for this bill, the transition age youth and other populations, it's a Venn diagram of why people fall into homelessness. And you're likely to see somebody without an ID because they just lost their possessions when they fell into homelessness. So you think of things like having to flee an unsafe situation because of a domestic violence situation, or getting kicked out of your home, or your home burnt to the ground and you don't have a place to go. Those are kind of the similarities of why we see that happen. For the original age group, 40% of the individuals reported having a disabling condition, and 30% are fleeing a domestic violence situation, which kind of tracks across the entire population. So that's typically where we more see that need for an individual.
Follow up?
Yeah, so, and I recognize this is kind of anecdotes, and you gave some anecdotal stories there, but, you know, just roughly, once again, just in your experience, how often do you see a lack of ID? You gave examples of when an ID might have been lost, but how often do you see an actual lack of ID be a hindrance in them trying to, like I said, improve their situation?
Ryan?
Through the chair, Representative Nelson, again, I can't give a – we aren't a direct service provider ourselves, so I don't want to speak for them. It sounds like maybe Representative Mina has an estimate.
Representative Mina?
Thank you, through the chair, to Representative Nelson. I would also defer that question to Ms. Jessica Parks at the Anchorage Coalition to End Homelessness, because they work with a lot of different service organizations.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jessica Parks, Interim Director at the Coalition to End Homelessness in Anchorage. Can you help us with that question, or let us know if you need to hear the question again?
Yes, thank you for the question. Through the co-chair to Representative Nelson, we see that lack of ID be a barrier to accessing services frequently. We have shelters here in Anchorage, including the Anchorage Gospel Rescue Mission, that require an ID to get into the shelter. So our office is about two blocks away from that shelter, and we have people come to us on a regular basis asking to either help them get an ID so they're able to access that shelter, or help them get a copy of that. We do have a system across our state called the Alaska Homeless Management Information System, or AKHMIS, and we do upload copies of identification documents into that database. So sometimes we're able to, if we've already helped them with an ID, print out a copy of that ID for them, so they're able to use that to access some services as well. But access to an identification document, just as one example, is those shelters. On the other side, needing to have an ID to get into housing. Often you need to have that identification document just to apply for a housing project. So being able to access an ID or a copy of an ID when you are applying to a housing project is very important.
Okay. Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, if you could please give me the name, Alaska Homeless Something or Other Information Center.
Director Parks, could you tell us the name of that center again?
Yes, through the co-chair to Representative Prox. The Alaska Homeless Management Information System, and it's a database that we use across our state.
Alaska Homeless Management Data
System. Information System.
Information System, okay.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
If seeing no further questions, thank you, Director Wilson, for your help, and also to Director Parks for your insights for us. Representative Mina, do you have any closing comments before we entertain a motion?
For the record, Genevieve Mina, Hess District 19 representative, I just want to thank the committee for all of your work to really hear out this bill and the different aspects of somebody experiencing homelessness in the state. We know that homelessness is a significant issue in many of our communities. It's a really significant issue in my district, and we have to think about what are the small things that we can do as a state to really help someone get on their feet. I think this is one that we can agree on, and I hope to see this bill continue forward in a positive way. Thank you.
With that, Representative Mears, I'm looking for a motion.
Thank you, Chair Hemshute. I move HB 334, Work Order 34-LS-1351/A, as amended with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendation.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, HB 334, Work Order 34-LS-1351/A, moves from committee as amended with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. We're going to take a really brief at ease to do the paperwork. Okay, we're back on record. The next item on our agenda is HB 379, Service Area Elections. This is the third hearing on the bill. Representative Carrick and Stuart Relay, please come forward and provide a brief recap of the bill.
Good morning, Madam Co-Chair, members of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, Ashley Carrick representing West Fairbanks. House Bill 379, again, is a bill that mostly benefits Fairbanks North Star boroughs. We have the largest number of road service areas by far, but there are, I believe, five boroughs that would be potentially impacted with this legislation. The long story short is if you like your road service area, you can keep it, but this bill provides a update to statute to allow for changes to service areas, including annexation or boundary adjustments, for the future to essentially help streamline the process going forward for creation and management of new service areas.
Okay, are there any committee questions? And just for the information of the committee, we also have online Director Sandra Moeller from the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. I guess that's all we have online. Oh, and Jedediah Smith, Local Government Specialist. Actually, I don't see Sandra Moeller. So we do have Jedediah Smith, a local government specialist with the Division of Community and Regional Affairs, and Jill Dolan, Borough Attorney, Fairbanks North Star Borough, online. So, are there committee questions? Representative St. Clair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Carrick, I have two questions pertaining to your bill. Would this decrease the number of RSAs that Fairbanks has?
Representative Carrick.
Thank you, through the chair, to Representative St. Clair. I think in the longer-term future, that is what you would see, because you would see the creation of some new service areas, but you would also see the potential for a more streamlined process for consolidation. And ultimately, our borough would like to see more administratively manageable service areas for the people that they're impacting. So I do think in the longer term, you would see an overall decrease in the volume of service areas, but it's hard to predict exactly what would happen, and you wouldn't see that effect immediately with this bill, as there's many people who would like to keep their service area exactly as it is currently.
Follow up. I had one more question. It was unclear to me earlier that under this legislation, would the RSA that wants to join another RSA to combine to decrease the number, do both get a vote in the matter, or is it just the incoming? I'm trying to see how to word that. Incoming versus existing, do both get a say in the matter?
Staff member Relay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Stuart Relay, staff for Representative Carrick. Representative St. Clair, this bill doesn't change how the road service areas, two existing road service areas, would merge, in which case, yes, they would both still have both roads. The membership of both road service areas would have to vote for that merge to happen.
Okay. Representative Holland.
Great. Thank you. Through the co-chair to the bill sponsor, can you just remind me share if we've gotten any input from the other, I believe, second-class boroughs that would be affected by this legislation? I think this simply provides options, so I don't expect any concern, but I'm just curious if we have anything on the record from hearing from those other four, I think, in addition to Fairbanks.
Representative Carrick.
Thank you, through the chair, to Representative Holland. One of the things that I hope to do with this bill as it hopefully continues to move forward is to get potentially statements from the other boroughs. But I do know from our last hearing when Nils Andreasen was here with Alaska Municipal League that they have had positive communications about this with Mat-Su Borough, and I believe it was Ketchikan that they'd also spoken directly with. So there at least has been some positive engagement. And again, this is really just, as you said, providing those options for those second class boroughs.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on this bill? Representative Prox, I know you love this bill.
We're going to have to agree to disagree at this point on this bill. I guess to both Rep. Carrick and Ms. Dolan, will you have time to couple hours, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and go through better alternatives this summer?
Representative Carrick?
I'll start through the chair to Representative Prox. I would be happy to. To be honest, this is a subject area where I have a lot of interest and a little bit of knowledge, but I could certainly benefit from some deep dive discussions. It's a major outstanding issue, as you know, and there's probably a few paths forward. This, to me, seemed like, as a borough priority, and something that's a lot of work's gone into crafting, like a very good potential option to go forward with. And so I support it, but definitely open to more conversations in the future, too.
And Borough Attorney Dolan, can you please confirm that you would welcome a conversation outside of session on this issue? You need to put your name on record, please.
Thank you. For the record, this is Jill Dolan, the borough attorney with the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Yes, I think this is a priority for the mayor and the assembly, and I'd be happy to sit down. I do have many years of research and participation in other service area bills, and I'd be happy to talk through any of the options.
And Representative St. Clair, thank you for that. Representative St. Clair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One statement and one question. I have contacted my borough mayor for the Mat-Su, and her only concern was that both sides, incoming and existing, would have a vote. Concerns over property tax increases, decreases, well, decreases they'd like, but increases could potentially be a sticking point. And the last question I have is for the bill sponsor. Can this be, Carrick, can this be done via a ballot measure or a proposition within the Fairbanks North Star Borough?
Representative Carrick, or staff member Relay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Stuart Relay, staff for Representative Carrick. At this point, the way this bill would change the road service area process, no, because they don't have the legal authority to do so. Mm-hmm. And so this bill would give them the legal authority to go through the road service area creation process, which does which part of that would include some level of voter approval.
Thank you.
Representative Prox.
To that point, that was one of the things I wanted to discuss. I think the borough would be able to attain that power. Second class boroughs can assume powers that voters approve. That is an option.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And through the Co-Chair, I guess to the bill sponsor, just to follow up on Rep. St. Clair's question, So if I remember right, or if my notes are correct, there are 103 service areas in Fairbanks. And what was the process, or was it, did we do that at the state level to create those 103 service areas?
Representative Carrick.
Thank you, through the chair, to Representative Nelson. So if you'll recall from our first bill hearing, we saw in the Fairbanks North Star Borough a skyrocket of service areas in the 1980s. There were 74 created during that time frame and a relatively manageable handful before and after that time frame. And our borough mayor had spoken to the reason why there was such a huge expansion during the 80s, but that was the time period when we saw such a large increase. And I believe we're the only borough in the state to have experienced a road service area creation growth of that magnitude. We're also, I would note, other than the Mat-Su borough, the only borough that has such a large amount of, not state-maintained, not local-maintained roads. So we're kind of in a unique situation, both in terms of the size of our geographic area and the lack of service provided by other means.
Wasn't it at the time the state was providing assistance for if you organized yourselves into a road service area, there would be some state assistance to your organization?
Through the chair, Stuart Relay Staff, Representative Carrick. Madam Chair, that's correct.
Seeing no further questions, Rep. Carrick, did you want to make any closing comments before I entertain a motion?
Just thank to both of the co-chairs for hearing this bill and to the members of the committee. It is a kind of a complicated issue, and it is a very heavily localized issue for Fairbanks in particular, but for our second-class boroughs. And so I just appreciate the time on this.
Thank you, Representative Carrick. And the bill does go next to State Affairs. So, Representative Mears, would you like to make a motion to move this bill from committee?
Thank you, Co-Chair Hemshoot. I would. I move HB 379, Work Order 34-LS1528, /A, batch fiscal notes, and individual recommendations from committee.
Are there objections?
Object.
Okay. Would you like to speak to your objection, Representative Prox?
Yes. This bill number 379, was introduced this year. There just are some things that need to be dealt with at the Fairbanks North Star Borough level. This isn't urgent. I think we would be better off we're going to be busier than can be, and I would like to get together with the borough this summer and try again next year.
Okay. So you maintain your objection?
I maintain my objection, okay. Yes.
Clerk Tenney, could you please call the roll?
Representative Halls.
Yes.
Representative Holland.
Yes.
Representative Prox.
No.
Representative St. Clair.
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
Can I take a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. I think that voids the rule. Okay, we're back on the record, and we're going to start that roll again. So, Clerk Tenney, could you please restart the roll?
Yes. Representative Hall.
Yes.
Representative Holland.
Yes.
Representative Prox.
No.
Representative St. Clair.
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
Yes.
Co-Chair Mears.
Yes.
Co-Chair Hemshoot.
Yes.
6 yeas, 1 nay.
With a vote of 6 yeas to 1 nay, House Bill 379, Work Order 34-LS1528, /A, moves from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. We're going to take a very brief at ease to do the paperwork. Okay, we're back on the record. Fastest ever paperwork break. The next item on our agenda is HB 217, Autonomous Vehicles. This is the third hearing on the bill. Representative Carrick and staff Griffin Sukow, please come forward and provide a brief recap of House Bill 217.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair and members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, Ashley Carrick, representing House District 35, West Fairbanks. House Bill 217 is being brought to you again from the House Transportation Committee. Thank you for, again, taking up this legislation. And what it does is it seeks to regulate the use of commercial autonomous vehicles and provides the specific requirement that commercial autonomous vehicles being used for interstate commerce, goods, and passengers will require a human safety operator in the vehicle to intervene if necessary. And this is being brought to us as a response to potential safety concerns. It does not prevent autonomous vehicles from coming to Alaska, being tested in Alaska, or utilized here, but it does offer a safety component for commercial autonomous vehicles operating in the state.
Thank you for that. And I want the committee to know that we have also online for questions Benjamin Glenn, the Emerging Technologies Coordinator with DOT, calling in from Fairbanks. So are there committee questions on this bill before we take up amendments? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And I recognize that we're buttoned up there, but some question, I guess, for the bill sponsor that have come up since the last committee and this one is how would we apply, if I understand it correctly, that this bill applies to vehicles registered within the state. And so if we have people coming out of state, if, you know, they're coming up with that technology, the interstate, even though it's coming through Canada, like how would we enforce this? Or would the same standard apply to a vehicle that was essentially registered in another state?
Representative Carrick?
Through the chair to Representative Holland, that would probably be a good question. Or not to Representative Holland, Representative Nelson.
I'm awake.
We're twins. We're twins.
That'd probably be a good question potentially for our Emerging Technologies Coordinator, although it's probably a better question for the DMV than anybody. I will have to continue to look into that. I'm not actually sure about that.
It was a new one for me that I hadn't thought about, so I appreciate that.
Okay. Other committee questions before we take up amendments?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay. I'm going to turn to Representative Hall. Would you like to move your amendment?
Yes. I move amendment number one.
And I object for the purpose of an explanation. Representative Hall, could you explain your amendment to us?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This amendment replaces Section 1, Subsection D, which presumes that the human safety operator of the autonomous vehicle is always liable for injury or damage caused by the accident, and adds language that reaffirms that fault apportionment of damages will be determined as already prescribed in law by looking at the context and facts regarding the accident to determine who is at fault. So basically, this amendment fixes the liability concern by leaving apportionment of damages up to the court.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion of the amendment? Okay, I remove my objection. Are there any other objections? Seeing none, Amendment 1, Work Order 34-LS0950/N.1 is adopted. Representative Carrick, do you want to make any closing comments before I entertain a motion on this bill?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Yes, I do want to just say to Representative Nelson that I will look into that question you just asked because I think it's a really good one. We may have answered it at a previous hearing, and I've just forgotten the answer, so I'm going to look into that for you. But just want to thank the committee again for taking up this bill. It's really important that we have advancements in technology in our state. It's also really important that we have reasonable guardrails reflecting our unique conditions. And it's my belief that House Bill 217 does that. And I just really thank everybody for looking into this bill.
Okay, thank you. Representative Mears, would you like to make a motion?
I move HB 217 Work Order 34-LS0950/N as amended with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations from committee.
Are there any objections? Okay, Okay, seeing none.
I will, for the sake of discussion, object.
Prox objects for discussion.
Okay. So would you like to speak to your objection
as
in a prox?
Please, I think I need to be on record for it. I am just all for all kinds of advances in technology, except the Internet. But no, this is an emerging, there we go, technology. Probably will come, but this, in my mind, is a safety issue. There just has not been enough public awareness of what's going on, and I think Alaska's conditions, weather, roads, everything else, is considerably different than the Southwest where this is being tested, et cetera. And I welcome the industry to come and talk to us some more, and I guess the DMV or DOT, whomever, let us know what's going on. But at this point, it is a safety issue, and I'm not prepared to welcome autonomous vehicles on Alaska's roads.
Do you maintain your objection?
With that, I withdraw my objection. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other objections, House Bill 217, Work Order 34-LS0950/N is adopted with attached fiscal notes as amended with individual recommendations. Okay. We're going to take a really quick at ease. At ease. So we are back on record, and we're going to complete paperwork on the fly again. The final item on our agenda today is House Bill 162, Digital Product Repair. This is the fourth hearing on the bill, and we have a committee substitute to adopt. Representative Mears, do you have a motion?
I move that we adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 162, Work Draft 34-LS0809/T as our working document.
And I object for the purpose of explanation. Representative Dybert and staff member Solchinsky, could you please come to the table and summarize the changes in the committee substitute?
Good morning. Good morning, Co-Chair Himshut and members of the
Community and Regional Affairs.
Thank you for taking the time to hear House Bill 162, Digital Product Repair. For the record, Maxine Dybert, I represent Downtown Fairbanks, House District 31. Today, I'm pleased to be presenting a CS for House Bill 162, incorporating some changes that we have worked with other committee members' offices on. This CS will help alleviate some of the concerns that were raised in previous hearings with this bill and will make the bill more appealing to numerous parties. Within the CS, we have adopted changes to clarify some of the language in the bill, as well as to include exemptions requested by committee members over safety concerns. We were grateful for the opportunity to work together with their offices to create a version of the bill that can garner more support. With that, I will turn it over to my legislative intern, Emma Solchinski, to go over the sectional analysis and summary of the changes.
Staff member Solchinski, if you could walk us through it, we'd be grateful.
Sure thing. Good morning to the committee. Thank you again for hearing HB 162. For the record, this is Emma Solchinski, legislative intern to Representative Dybert. And we'll just delve right into it. So for the summary of changes, on page 2, section 45.45.820, it adds subsection C to the section, clarifying that the bill only regulates that which is not preempted by federal law. Page 3, section 45.45.840, clarifies that manufacturers are providing parts, tools, and documentation to independent repair providers and owners. It adds production costs to subsection 3 regarding what manufacturers may charge for the provision of tools, and creates subsection 4 stating that any product information or repair materials that the manufacturer provides to an authorized repair provider must be provided to independent repair providers and consumers upon request. It additionally amends subsection C, adding forestry, construction, industrial utility, mining, road building, material handling, and similar products, as well as power production and storage devices, to a list of products manufacturers are able to provide parts for on terms and at costs that are reasonable, in addition to power sports and farm equipment. On page 4, section 45.45.845, it creates the section that allows manufacturers of commercial and industrial equipment to require training, certification, or verification of competency for repairs involving critical or safety systems, allows them to provide access to the product's secure systems, and to provide replacement parts as an assembly rather than individual components. Page 5, section 45.45.870, it removes the language in the section that mandates manufacturers reveal trade secrets if it is necessary to do so in order to provide repair materials. On page 5, section 45.45.880, it removes the application of manufacturers and authorized repair providers' liability exemption from solely injury or damage to digital products caused by independent repair providers and owners, which broadens its application to injury and damage as a whole. Page 5, section 45.45.890, it adds a new subsection clarifying that the bill does not alter, impair, or supersede the terms of a lease or a commercial contract. And page 6, section 45.45.895, it adds fire alarms, life safety systems, physical intrusion detection devices monitored by an individual providing a security service, and physical access control equipment to the list of products exempted from the bill.
Thank you very much for that explanation of the changes. There's, of course, the sectional analysis I think we can all read on our own. So with that, I'm going to remove my objection and look to see if there are any other objections. Okay. Seeing no other objections, committee substitute for HB 162, work draft 34-LS0809/T is adopted as the working document. And normally we would go to discussion at this point. In the absence of the option to go to discussion, I'm unwilling to set an amendment deadline as we had intended for Wednesday. So instead, we're going to move that amendment deadline to Friday. So I want you to be aware that it's going to be a quick turnaround. We'll discuss on Thursday, and the amendment deadline for this bill will be Friday, April 17th at noon. But I think the committee's done tremendous work with the bill sponsor to try to get to a place where I hope we don't have a ton of amendments, but whatever we need to do, we'll do. So thank you so much, Representative Dybert and Staff Member Solchinski. Appreciate your flexibility this morning. And that is going to conclude our business for today. As a reminder, the amendment deadline for House Bill 162 is Friday, April 17th at noon. Thursday, we have scheduled our first hearing on SB 63, Local Boundary Commission, and discussion and another hearing for House Bill 162, Digital Product Repair. Seeing no further business before the committee, this meeting is adjourned at 8:57 a.m.